If you have a Bible, you can turn with me into the Gospel of John, chapter 11. If you don't, you can just listen. That is fine as well. John, chapter 11. In a moment, I'll be reading verses 1 through 44. It's the familiar story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. The verse I'm going to be focusing on, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, is verse 35. Jesus wept. But in order to give us the context, I'll read the entire passage. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And we confess it's at times like this that we are at a loss for words. Lord, we ask that you would be pleased to accomplish your purposes and your glory and the advancement of your kingdom through this. We pray that you would be with Bill and Leslie and all of the family, all of the siblings. And we pray, Father, that you would provide that comfort that only you can bring, that encouragement, that hope, and that you would minister to our hearts today. And that you would help us to use Jackson's death to improve ourselves and our standing with you. And we ask, O God, that you might be pleased to use this for the salvation of souls and the sanctification of your people. And we ask that Christ would be lifted up and that men and women and children would be drawn unto him. Bless, we pray. Send your Spirit. Work in our midst. Be with us. Be our God. Minister to our hearts. Be glorified in our midst. Bless your word to our hearts as we hear it now. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." There is a lot of weeping in the Bible. If you were to do a study of weeping and crying in the Scriptures, you might be surprised to see how much weeping and crying there is. From Genesis to Revelation, we find people weeping, crying, mourning, lamenting, shedding tears. Let me remind you of just a few of instances where this takes place. In Genesis chapter 23, verse 2, we find one of the first instances of weeping. Abraham, our father in the faith, wept over the death of his wife, Sarah. The text says, "And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." In Genesis 37, we find Jacob weeping over his son Joseph, who you remember he thought was dead. Genesis 37:35 says this, "And all of his, that is Jacob's, sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, 'For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning.' Thus his father wept for him. Then later, when Joseph saw his brothers coming to Egypt to buy grain, Joseph wept when he saw them because he hadn't seen them in such a long time and probably never thought he would see them again, especially his little brother Benjamin." We read in Genesis 43:29, "Then he, that is Joseph, lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and he wept there." Then a couple of chapters later, when Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers, the text says in chapter 45, verse 2, that he wept aloud and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. In Genesis chapter 50, after Jacob died, we read in verse 1 that Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him. And in verse 3, we read that the Egyptians mourned over the death of Jacob for 70 days. In Deuteronomy 34, we read that at the death of Moses, the people of Israel wept for him. Verse 8 says, "And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. In 2 Samuel 15, when David had to flee Jerusalem because his son Absalom was taking over the kingdom, we read in verse 30, "So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and he went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went." The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because of how much he wept over the sins and rebellion of God's people. In Jeremiah 9, verse 1, the prophet cried out, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." In the days of Ezra, when the people had sinned against the Lord by intermarrying with the pagans around them, we read in verse 1, it says, "Now, while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept very bitterly." And of course, the Psalms mention weeping quite a bit as well. Psalm 6, Psalm 30, Psalm 56, Psalm 102 all mention weeping, just to name a few of them. Psalm 6, verses 6 and 7 says this, "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eyes waste away because of grief." These are just a few Old Testament examples. As I said, there's a lot of weeping. And there's a lot of weeping in the New Testament as well. But what has to be the most incredible instances of weeping in the Bible are those which mention our Lord Jesus weeping. Three times in the New Testament, it mentions Jesus weeping or crying with tears. In Luke 19:41, in Hebrews 5:7, and here in John 11:35. Here is Jesus, the God-man, the God of the universe, the God of all creation in human flesh, the all-powerful, everywhere present, all-knowing, all-wise, sovereign ruler of the universe. And he is weeping. Why would Jesus cry? Now, if we believe that Jesus was flesh and blood, we might be able to see how Jesus would weep tears resulting from pain. A natural reaction to physical pain and suffering is crying and weeping. And although the scriptures don't mention that specifically, it would be hard to believe that Jesus didn't shed any tears when he was beaten and flogged and nailed to a Roman cross. So perhaps we could understand him crying under these conditions. But why would Jesus ever shed emotional tears? As it's the case here in John 11:35, especially in this instance. I mean, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He knows he's about to raise Lazarus. Why weep? Why cry? Now, in order to answer that question, we might even take a step back further and ask a bigger question. Why do we cry? Why did God make us so that we could weep and would weep tears as a result of our emotions? You know, some scientists have put crying into various distinct categories. There's reflex tears, basal tears, continuous tears, emotional tears. We can weep tears from various things. You can cry when you're chopping up an onion, or you get debris in your eye. There are various reasons why we might shed tears. But what we are talking about here is emotional tears. And as far as I know, God did not have to make us in such a way that we would cry and weep on the basis of our emotions. But then again, we were made in His image. And maybe this ability to show intense emotion is a part of that image, a reflection of the character of God Himself. Maybe the ability to show intense emotion by weeping in some ways shows forth God. You know, none of the animals can shed emotional tears. They create tears to lubricate their eyes and things like that, but not tears of emotion. Charles Darwin said that emotional tears have no purpose. When you read some of the scientific research about weeping and crying and studies done on it, you will find that we still don't have it all figured out. We haven't mastered the science behind crying. Although there does seem to be a general consensus that emotional crying is good for you. Emotional crying is different and that it supposedly flushes toxins out of our system and releases endorphins, which is different than other types of crying. Apparently, it is good. It's good to cry. But I do think it's an incredible thing that Jesus wept. You know, people have been boggled by this, and they've tried to offer various reasons why Jesus wept in this instance. Some liberal theologians actually argue that it isn't historical at all, that Jesus really didn't do that. That doesn't make any sense, why the God-man would weep. Others have said that Jesus was weeping because he knew that once Lazarus was raised, this would put the wheels in motion for his eventual betrayal and arrest and death on the cross, and he was weeping at the prospect of this. Others just throw up their hands and they say, we don't know why he cried. But the simple, straightforward answer that's just right there on the text, right there on the surface, is undoubtedly the best answer. Jesus wept. Jesus wept because he cared. He wept because he cared. Jesus saw Mary come running to him, falling down at his feet, weeping. He saw the Jews who were with her come weeping. Jesus saw the tomb where Lazarus was laid. He saw all this and he took it all in his full humanity. And he saw the pain and the sorrow that comes from death. He saw the people weeping. He saw the consequences of sin in this world and the death that sin brings. And he was moved in his emotions. He was moved by compassion. And he wept. Jesus wept. What a verse. The shortest verse in the Bible. But how powerful. You know, there are a couple of different Greek words for weep. The one word, kleo, means to weep aloud, to express uncontainable audible grief and weeping. That's the word that's used in various places in our passage with the people weeping. That's the word that's used in verse 31 when Mary went to find a place to weep. That's the word used twice in verse 33 of Mary and the other Jews who were with her. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. But interestingly, John uses another word for weeping for Jesus. He uses the word dekruo. And that is, in this instance, this verb is only used this one time in the whole New Testament. Nowhere else is it used. And that word means to shed quiet tears, to weep silently with tears. And so you can just see Jesus' face. And you have to wonder if John, who wrote this later, was there and he looked at Jesus. As Jesus is not weeping and wailing and howling, but he just stands there before the tomb, knowing that he's able to raise up Lazarus. But so overcome by emotion, and the tears just start streaming down his face. There is Jesus, overcome with emotion by the pain and the suffering and the hurt that he sees, by the consequences of sin and the death that it has brought. He's not expressing uncontainable, audible grief like the others. Jesus' weeping is different, but it is no less real, it's no less emotional, and it is no less significant. Jesus was doing what Paul urges us to do in Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. I think one of the main reasons that God created us to be able to weep emotionally is so that we could show that we care. Whether it is tears of joy or sorrow, the emotion is so strong and intense, and the tears just come flowing down. In the scriptures, aside from weeping for sin over sin, the most common reason for weeping is death. Death is a good reason to weep. So when you're faced with death, whether it's yours or someone else's, someone you love, let the tears flow. I know that over the last week, tears have flowed. Jesus wept to show that he cares, to show that God cares. Here is God himself in the flesh, set before you in tears, weeping. Jesus doesn't come to us and say, "What are you crying about? Why are you so worked up? Why are you so emotional? Have more faith." He doesn't do that. He weeps with those who weep. You can't tell me that Jesus doesn't care when we see him weeping like this from the core of his being, weeping over people in the Bible. Now you may say to me, well, Jesus wept in this instance because he loved Lazarus so much. As it says right there in the text, in the very next verse, verse 36, right after it says Jesus wept, it says, "Then the Jews said, see how he loved him." Well, that's true. Jesus did love Lazarus very much. But as I said earlier, this is not the only time that Jesus wept. In Luke 19:41, we find that Jesus wept on another occasion. He wept over the whole city of Jerusalem. He wept over all the people in it, those who believed in him and those who did not believe in him. He wept over the people who would in just a few days cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus wept over them. He wept as he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." In fact, I think Jesus has wept over a lot of people. Some have rightly pointed out that if Jesus had not said, "Lazarus, come forth," that all who were in the graves would have come forth. And I think that in a similar vein, when our text says that Jesus wept, I don't think he was just weeping over the death of Lazarus. I think he was weeping over the helpless, pitiful, tragic condition that sin has brought to mankind. He was weeping over the death of mankind. Yes, Jesus wept over Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. But I think it's safe to say that Jesus has wept over every single one of you in this room. Jesus cares deeply, immensely. He cares for you more than you care for yourself. I don't know many of you in here. I don't know the state of your soul. I don't know that if you've cast yourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation as the only hope of eternal life. One day, all of us in this room will die. And Christ has brought me here to be his ambassador for you, to plead with you to come to Christ as the only hope of salvation and of eternal life. As he said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How could you reject such a caring Savior? What a God we have and serve who cares for us so much that he could weep for us. Don't be like those in the city of Jerusalem over whom Jesus wept and did not believe. Rather, be those who trust in Christ for salvation. And one day, God will wipe away from all those who've trusted in him every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we come before you acknowledging our frailty, our weakness, our helplessness, our sinfulness. We ask, oh God, that you would be pleased to be merciful to us and to send your Holy Spirit and impress the truths of your word upon the hearts and lives of those in this room and draw us to Christ that we might know him and that we might live forever with him. Do this great work, O God, that we cannot do for ourselves. And give us hearts that have been resurrected by the power of your Spirit. That we might look to Christ. That we might flee to him. That we might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.